Morning, everybody. How are you today? I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking, James. As you know, Russ is down visiting grandchildren today, so it's my pleasure to have the opportunity to fill in for him. He always says he's going to visit grandchildren. He never really talks about visiting children. It's always just grandchildren. Some people that are older always say if they knew how much fun grandchildren were, they'd have just skipped straight to them and skip the kids. So I don't know. One day I'll tell you when I'm old. All right, we'll talk about relationships today. It's tough for young people trying to find a relationship. And we all know it's not official till it's on Facebook. You're not... You're not really in a relationship until Facebook says you're in a relationship. Up until that point, you know, it's just your word against theirs. So, but we don't like being alone. You hear children today, you know, as young as 9 and 10 saying, you know, they've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It just seems like it's happening earlier and earlier that people want to be in some kind of a relationship. And they just feel kind of lost whenever that relationship inevitably comes to an end. And so they're just kind of floundering around. They're in a deep depression until that next relationship starts. And then suddenly life is good again. We don't like being alone. It's lonely being alone. That's probably why they call it that. Even God agrees. He said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good that man should be alone. I figured I'd hear that from the women. They know what men are like when they're alone. That's not safe. It's definitely not good that man should be alone. We need somebody looking out after us and telling us things are stupid. Because otherwise we don't know. But we spend a lot of time and a lot of money trying to find relationships. I heard all the dating sites advertised. They're getting so specialized. You know, you've got dating sites if you're Jewish. The one that really got to me was the one for farmers. Have y'all seen that one? You got to be a farmer to join this site. That's getting really specialized. You know, you got the big ones, you know, Match.com and eHarmony and all that. And I didn't think too much about it. And somebody said, you know, those are expensive. I'm like, really? What do you mean? I figured, you know, you pay a $20 fee or something and you go in here and find your mate for life or something. They said it can cost thousands of dollars sometimes to do this online dating and everything. You've got to really want a relationship pretty bad for that to be so important to you that you're going to pay thousands of dollars to help somebody try to find a relationship for you. And you really want to look in the right places. You know, if you're looking for a relationship and you're going to bars, it's possible you're going to find somebody that's an alcoholic. You know, you got to worry about things like that. You know, who you find probably depends on where you look for them. So you got to be really careful how you look for a relationship. So as always, we go to the Bible for advice. So in the scripture that Charles read, you saw that Abraham wanted to find a wife for his son Isaac. And so, of course, he sends the servant out looking. But that was the day, wasn't it? Instead of having to go hunt for a wife, you know, dad just sends the servant out. Hey, you know, go find your wife. Bring her back. And then you can get married. I don't know about that. So he went looking for the wife, and so he went back to the land where Abraham had told him to go and look for the wife, and so he prays before that. That's a good start for just about any project that we want to start is praying. And so he prayed and he said, "Give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. So I'm standing by this well of water, and all the daughters of the men of the village are going to come out to drink the water." It says, "Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will give your camels a drink. Let her be the one that you've appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I'll know that you've shown kindness to my master. So this was the signal that this was the person that God intended for Isaac to marry. And I never really thought about this all that much at the time when I read it. It's just like, you know, show me a sign. You know, I never really thought about the significance of what they were asking until I did a little bit of reading about it. You realize how much a camel drinks? I didn't know. They can drink 21 gallons of water a day. And you remember how many camels he had in that story? Were you paying attention? He brought 10 camels. You know, the young girl that is such a so servant-oriented here that she's going to draw 210 gallons of water for these camels, you know, that's somebody that has a good heart. I don't know that I want to draw 210 gallons of water for a stranger's camels. You know, this just the mere act of somebody volunteering to do that was pretty impressive. And so I never really thought about it in those terms before. And, you know, as a bonus, he said Rebecca was also beautiful. Wow, you know, that's a kind of a twofer. I mean, if you notice, he didn't say anything about looks in here. That's not what he went there, you know. Abraham didn't say, you know, find me a good-looking wife for Isaac so I can have beautiful grandchildren. That really what didn't play into it here. So, but he just mentions in passing, and by the way, you know, she's also beautiful. So that's great. Part of it, she had this nose ring. You know, we talk about nose rings today, but Rebecca had a nose ring. So, you know, before we get all uptight about our kids getting nose rings, they didn't invent this. So I guess that's why she was so beautiful. But anyway, I lost my train of thought on that. What I really want to talk about today is not so much just finding a relationship here on earth, but I'd like to apply some of these principles to finding a relationship with Jesus. You know, what are we looking for in a relationship? You know, as the signs say that you could read before we introduce the screen, it says that Jesus wants a completely committed follower. And so, you know, that's what we want to be. And the Bible compares this relationship that we have to Jesus to being the bride of Christ, that essentially we're engaged to Christ. Whenever we accept this relationship status here, that's what it says that we are. We're engaged. And so, you know, whenever we're looking for somebody for that type of a relationship, there's some qualities that we're looking for on there. So I did a little bit of web searching. It's been a long time since I hunted for a relationship, which is probably a relief to a lot of people since I'm married. But so I said, you know, what are people looking for these days in a relationship? So it's a lot more sophisticated today. You can go on the internet and Google and find out what you're looking for. And I wish I had had the access to that when I was hunting. But what I found, I don't know why that's funny. What Google said, and Google knows everything, was that what people are looking for is somebody that's willing to spend time with you. That's kind of a sign of a committed relationship, if they're willing to spend time together with you. It's difficult when you're in the military because you spend a lot of time apart. And a lot of military marriages break up for that reason, because you spend so much time apart. When you spend, you know, 12, 18 months deployed at a time, or even if you take shorter trips and go more often, it's difficult. It's stressful being away from the person that you care about. And so it's one thing that you're looking for, somebody who has time for you. Sometimes you think it'd be nice to marry somebody with a lot of money, but a lot of times those are busy people. A lot of times they're committing a lot of hours into running a business or something. And so they may have a lot of money, but they don't have a lot of time for you in there. So what about Jesus? You know, Jesus has time for us. He's got all the time in the world for us. So anytime we need somebody to talk to, anytime we need to pour out our troubles, Jesus is there. He's never TDY. He's never gone to Afghanistan whenever you need help. He's always right there with you and always ready to be there whatever your need is and willing to help. I also read what people are looking for when they're ranking what it is that they want is somebody kind, somebody that actually cares about you, somebody that is willing to be thoughtful and provide things for you, you know, maybe without you even asking. They're just thinking about you, and they're always willing to do something for you just because it makes them feel good to do that for you. You know, somebody that thinks about us when we're apart. You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody and they never even think about you whenever you're apart, that's kind of discouraging. We like to know that the person was thinking about us, to get a call or a text that says, you know, by the way, I miss you. I'm thinking about you. I wish I was there. Jesus is always thinking about us. He's always there. He's ready to help anytime we need help. It's nice when somebody's a phone call away and we don't even have to pick up the phone. We can talk to him and he's there even when we're not asking for help. He's still there. He's always there willing to help out and willing to listen and willing to do nice things for us without us even asking many times. Whenever we start thinking about our blessings, sometimes we're overwhelmed with all the things that God does for us, things that we didn't even ask for. I was kind of surprised by this one. Things have changed a lot since I was in the dating world. I read that today one thing that people are looking for in a relationship is they'll check people's credit rating. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. You know, it just kind of blew me away whenever it's like they want somebody that's financially solvent. You got to think twice about choosing to marry somebody that is thousands of dollars in debt. Or even worse, they don't know how to handle money. You know, they spend it like water. They don't understand how finance works. It's nice to have somebody that's financially compatible with us, that you can see eye to eye on about spending money. It's nice for at least one person in the relationship to be good at handling the money. So it's really bad when neither of them do. Ideally, it's nice when both of you understand the value of money and can be frugal and know how to save and place a high importance on saving money and being prepared. So, what about Jesus? Is he financially solvent? You know, he made the world. He owns everything in the world. It really doesn't get any more financially solvent than that. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He can provide anything that we need. It might not be good for us, and he may not choose to provide some things for us that we might ask for, but he provides everything that we need. This is somebody that can take care of us. Sometimes you hear that people will stay together for security. You know, they're comfortable with the person. The person maybe takes care of them financially, even whenever there's no love in the relationship anymore. They'll still stay together just because of that security that they have being in the relationship. And with Jesus, we have both. We have his love and his kindness. And also his willingness to take care of our needs and to provide for us. One thing that people are looking for is maturity. If you've ever been in a relationship with somebody that's immature, they can be, you know, jealous, they can be possessive, self-absorbed, they may be thoughtless or petty. Those are marks of somebody that's immature. And it's frustrating if you're trying to have a relationship with somebody that is so immature that they don't know how to handle it. So what about Jesus? Is he jealous? You know, the only way that Jesus is jealous is in the sense of, you know, it says we serve a jealous God. He wants us to be faithful to him. That he wants us to love him and to care about him. It's not jealousy in the sense that he's insecure. What he wants is the best for us. And he knows that being in a relationship with him is the best we can do. And so that's why he's jealous. That's why he doesn't want us serving other people, is because it's not good for us. He's got our best interest at heart. And so in that sense, jealousy can be a good thing. And also, jealousy can show that somebody cares. If you're in a relationship with somebody that doesn't show any signs of jealousy at all, that might mean that they just don't even really care about you. And we know that Jesus does care about us. And then finally, we want somebody that's going to understand and appreciate us for who we are. Now, a lot of times in earthly relationship, that means I don't want somebody that's going to try to change me. I want somebody that's going to accept me the way that I am. Jesus accepts us however we are, but he does want to change us. But he wants to change us for the better. He wants us to change us in positive ways, in ways that are good for us. He wants us to start being selfless, to think about others, to care about the impact that our actions have on other people. He wants us to grow and to mature. And so, in that sense, you know, he does want us to change. But it's not because he's unhappy with us. It's because he wants what's best for us. And generally, what's best for us is that we constantly try to improve who we are and become a better person. So Jesus meets all this criteria whenever we're searching for a relationship. So we said, okay, it sounds like he's the perfect match, but, you know, that's only half of it. You can hunt around and find your perfect match all you want, but we also have to be a perfect match. Are we a good match for him? We also have to think about that. When we're searching for a relationship, it doesn't really work like whenever Abraham's servant went searching for a wife for Isaac. You know, even then, Abraham acknowledged when he was talking to the servant, if she's willing to come back with you, then she can marry him. So she still had some input. But a lot of times, in those days, they were arranged marriages. But Jesus doesn't want an arranged marriage. He wants us to choose him, and then he'll choose us. So what's Jesus looking for in a relationship? Have we ever thought about that? You know, a lot of times we're very self-centered, and we're focused on our own needs and our own wants. But what kind of a person is Jesus looking for in a relationship? And we said he'll accept you no matter who you are. That's not an issue. But he wants somebody that's going to be faithful. I mean, don't we all in a relationship want somebody that's going to be faithful? But humans have a long history of being unfaithful. If we go back and just read stories in the Bible, and if we just look around us today, we're not that great at being faithful to our spouses and to our God. You know, there's a lot of stories in the Bible of people, even like David, that had a hard time being faithful. And even more so when we start look at how they treated God during the ages. If you read the book of Judges, it's a book over and over where they would fall away from God and start serving other gods. And then suddenly God sends an enemy to come and conquer them. And then suddenly they cry out to God, you know, God, come help us. So he sends them a judge. And the military leader will go and save them, and they'll repent, and they come back to God, and then in the next chapter it starts all over again. And we see that. But remember, we're the bride of Christ. When we enter into that relationship, He wants us to be faithful. We're, in essence, engaged at this point. We're a fiancé at this point. So imagine if you're engaged to somebody and you're apart, and then you come back to town and you discover they've been dating other people while you've been away. That's a relationship that's probably going to come to an abrupt end at that point. But what Jesus is looking for is that committed, faithful relationship, that we're going to put Him first with our time and with our money and with our faith. You know, He wants somebody that has the heart of a servant, just like Abraham wanted for Isaac. And what the servant prayed for, you know, he was looking for somebody, for Isaac, that had the heart of a servant. Somebody that's willing to draw 210 gallons of water for a stranger's camels. Is that the kind of person that we are? Are we willing to be that kind of a relationship partner with Jesus? So that's the only thing on His list, is that faithfulness. That's all He's asking for. Everything else that we do is because of that faithfulness. You know, we become engaged to Christ by believing in Him and repenting of our sins and changing our lives, confessing that He's Lord, and I guess having the ring placed on our finger is our baptism into Christ. And so at that point, we're engaged to Him. So all He's asked for at that point is to just be faithful, to show our faith by what we do. In everything that we do, we obey the guidelines that He's given us. And they're not arbitrary guidelines. They're all things that are for our benefit. He wants the best for us. And He says, this is how your life will turn out the best. If you just obey Me and do the things that I've given you to do, things will turn out okay for you. And that's all He asks for us. You know, on Facebook, you've got a lot of options when you're changing your relationship status. You know, you can have single, or you can have married, or you can have engaged, or divorced, or separated, or it's complicated. You know, there's lots of choices that you can list on there. You know, we've tried being single. It doesn't work for humans to be single. We need that relationship with Jesus. And it's not complicated. You know, that's one that we don't need to select. So we can go straight to being in a relationship with Jesus if that's what we choose. Being single just gives us loneliness and heartaches. We need Jesus in our lives. We need that committed, faithful relationship with Him. And that's what He wants too. And that sounds pretty simple. He meets all the qualities that we've got on our list of things that we're looking for in a relationship. And He's willing to accept us the way we are, but always try to make us into a better person for our own good. So where do we stand? It seems like an easy choice for us to make. But have we made it? Because just like being in a relationship with another human, we have to continue to make that decision each day of our lives. You can be faithful to somebody for 10 or 20 or 50 years and still be unfaithful in it at that point. God expects us to continue to be faithful our whole lives. So have you been? Have you been faithful? If you haven't been faithful, you've got an opportunity this morning to come forward, to receive the prayers of the church, and to help you be faithful to Jesus once again, just like He asked you to be. As we said, that's His only requirement. And so if you haven't been faithful, this is an opportunity for you to come forward and get the help and prayers of the church in doing so. If you've never made that commitment, if you're still single in your relationship and you're looking for a relationship with the partner that we've described, you have an opportunity to do that today as well. He's made the proposal. He's just waiting on your answer. So, are you going to make that commitment? Are you willing to commit to the most perfect person that's ever existed? Or are you not? That's his invitation, but it's just like the example that we gave. You've got to agree to willingly go back and meet your prospective bride. He's not going to force you. So the servant wasn't going to kidnap Rebecca and take her back against her will. It had to be her decision. And it's got to be our decision today. So if you're willing to do that, the water is ready. We can have you accept his proposal by baptizing you into Jesus today, if that's your choice. But if you have a need of any of these types, Ted will be in the back if you would like to have a private prayer. If you would like to come forward and